WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I found out that James Gandolfini died last night when Phyllis, one of our producers, emailed me. My first reaction, and I don't think I was alone in this, was to think, no, that can't be. It's a rumor run wild on social media that will soon be corrected. But we're not going to get a correction on that one. We were devoted fans of The Sopranos here at Fresh Air, which was probably obvious from the number of people involved with the show who were our guests. Unfortunately, Gandolfini was never one of them. Our understanding was that he shied away from interviews. But we are going to listen back to some of the things that a couple of the other people from The Sopranos had to say about Gandolfini. And here to help us pay tribute to James Gandolfini is our TV critic, David Bianculli. David, there are so many great scenes that James Gandolfini was in. You've chosen a scene to play for us. What have you chosen?
I've chosen the very first therapy session with Lorraine Bracco as Dr. Melfi, when here Tony Soprano, played by Gandolfini as this mob boss, goes into therapy for the first time after he's had anxiety attacks. This is a thread that goes through the entire series, and it's so perfect from the beginning because this is one of the first series I can remember watching where what isn't said is as important as what is, and the characters never show their cards. And so the dynamic from the very beginning between these two is fascinating.
And is this from the very first episode?
Yes.
Okay.
My understanding from Dr. Cusumano, your family physician, is that you collapsed, possibly a panic attack. You were unable to breathe.
They said it was a panic attack. Of course, all the blood work and the neurological work came back negative. And they sent me here.
You don't agree that you had a panic attack? How are you feeling now?
Good. Fine. Back at work.
What line of work are you in?
Waste management consultant. Look, it's impossible for me to talk to a psychiatrist.
Any thoughts at all on why you blacked out?
I don't know. Stress, maybe.
So that's Lorraine Bracco with James Gandolfini from the first episode of The Sopranos. David, I think, you know, we, his fans, Gandolfini's fans, are feeling such a sense of loss. He was 51 when he died. And, you know, what are your thoughts about why his death is having such a huge impact on his fans? I mean, we're really feeling it.
I think part of it is because of the suddenness of it. You know, he was young and there was no hint that this was coming. And so it's the shock value. But most of it, I think, is that we're now really instantly acknowledging what an iconic performance he gave us in terms of television. I think it's the best television performance of this current century, the most defining one that led to all the other really good performances and was such a brave, bold, different move. I'd say that, you know, since Archie Bunker, what he did to comedy in terms of changing comedy, Carol O'Connor's performance in that, James Gandolfini did in The Sopranos.
He was really lucky to get such a role, so perfectly suited for him. Not many actors get that opportunity. And it's a role he was able to keep creating and recreating over the years, another opportunity most actors don't get. And he once said, and this was in an interview in 2001 for Newsweek, he said about his audition for The Sopranos that he was thinking, I can do this, but I thought they would hire someone a little more debonair, shall we say, a little more appealing to the eye. And when I interviewed David Chase, the creator of The Sopranos, mm-hmm. in 2000, I asked him about casting James Gandolfini. And let's hear that excerpt.
Well, you're so lucky to have found in James Gandolfini someone who has such an interesting face to watch, and his face is kind of mercurial. I mean, although I'm sure he's trying not to betray what he's thinking, you can see what he's thinking on his face. And sometimes he looks very weak and vulnerable, and sometimes he's incredibly cold-blooded looking. You've cast at the center of the series someone who is a very charismatic actor, but he's not a leading man kind of looking actor. He's got a pot belly, receding hairline, pudgy face. It's not Al Pacino.
No. I always go for the actor. If the actor who came in to read for this part had been Cary Grant and it had worked, I probably would have said, fine, let's do that. But we didn't. What really we were blessed enough to have happen is that James Gandolfini came through our door. And I honestly mean this. This is, you know, there's without Jim Gandolfini, there is no Sopranos. There's no Tony Soprano. He is so integral to, I think, a lot of the people always ask me, what do you attribute, why do people like this show so much? Why the furor? And it's because of him. That's why the whole thing, I think, is so identifiable to so many people, because he just is so human. And people respond to him. Their hearts and their heads go out to him, despite the heinous things he's doing on screen.
There's something very average guy looking about him.
Oh, it's more than that. I don't think he is that average. I think he is a very, very sensitive, hypersensitive man. And I think he reflects his environment in a very, very rarefied way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he comes off as the regular Joe, you know. But I think what's going on there is you have a very, very extremely emotional person and sensitive person. And that's what Tony Soprano has become as a result of him.
That's David Chase in 2000 talking about James Gandolfini in The Sopranos. And, of course, David Chase created The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of when Dustin Hoffman got the role in The Graduate, and it sort of changed the rules for how we saw leading men. In television, Gandolfini did such a great job as Tony Soprano that it's after that that you get people like Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad and Michael Chiklis in The Shield, people who are pushing the boundaries but are complicated actors and unlike the people who were on TV 10 years before.
The Writers Guild of America recently named The Sopranos the best written TV show in TV history.
Mm-hmm.
How much – I mean, we just heard from David Chase, who did a lot of the writing for The Sopranos. So
yeah,
obviously a lot of credit.
I think he's right, and he has inside info. I mean, here's the guy – and it was a brilliantly written show and a really well-directed show and great cast all around. I mean, that – all the pieces came together. But when the creator of it puts all of the success on the hands of its central actor, pay a little attention to that. I think David Chase is right. Cast differently, The Sopranos may not have had the impact, probably would not have.
Why don't we hear from somebody who worked very closely with James Gandolfini in The Sopranos? And this is Edie Falco, who played Tony Soprano's wife, Carmela.
Mm-hmm.
And when I spoke with her in 2001, you know, I asked her about working with Gandolfini.
When you met James Gandolfini, who plays your husband Tony Soprano, had you seen him in anything else before?
Sure. He was one of those actors you always think, oh, good, he's in this. He's great. He scared the hell out of me when I found out that he was the guy playing my husband, because previous to that, I'd seen him beat a bunch of people up and, you know, he'll kill me for saying this, but he played a lot of tough guys and a lot of mean guys. And, you know, they're like, yeah, this is the man you'll be going to bed with in this show. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I was basically afraid. But he's the one who made the initial phone calls to introduce himself when we found out who was cast and that he wanted to have lunch so we could get to know each other. And I realized, okay, that's right, he's just an actor, that perhaps he's, you know, not the mean guy that I've seen in all these movies. And, you know, needless to say, that is very much the case, that he's a lovely guy.
How well have you gotten to know each other? Would you prefer to know him mostly as Tony Soprano, or have you really wanted to know James Gandolfini well?
That's the thing. And again, I don't do this on purpose, but it's something I notice about the way that I have sort of done this whole thing, is that I don't know Jim very well. We don't spend a lot of time together, certainly during hiatus or when we're not working. And it is not because I don't want to. The truth is, on some level, I look forward to the show ending. I mean, only on this level because I am loving it. But so I can actually get to know Jim a little bit because while we're working, I so much prefer to have him walk onto the set and have him be Tony, only Tony, you know, where I don't necessarily know how Jim spent the weekend or, you know, where he went to eat. And I mean, all stuff that I would normally love to know. But I think on some level, I fear it would get in the way of how pure my relationship is with him as Tony. You know, as I said, this is not something I planned, but it's something I think I've done in other jobs as well. I need to keep my personal relationship with these actors kind of clean and unencumbered so that the pretend relationship starts to take on a much fuller life for me.
That's Edie Falco, who played Tony Soprano's wife, Carmela, recorded in 2001.